and then to improve the sector's competitiveness. So, I think the opening up of the economy meant that we needed to sharpen our competitiveness, and this really strategy was about ensuring that that happened. So the stated objectives were really a vision of the technological profile of the industrial sector by the year 2014, the identification of priority sectors which have great potential in supporting relevant goal contained in the IMS and the initial ideas with the information development strategy. Stimulation of technological upgrading in industry, I think that was important, that as more and more manufacturing was going to be technology-based, we needed to be also getting our sectors ready. Facilitating the flow of technical resources to industry through knowledge networks and to foster innovation, and also to build an environment that was conducive to innovation, particularly through supply of skilled manpower, technology infrastructure, and funds. And this was probably very necessary because if you open up an economy and you are not competitive, then easily kill your sectors. Next slide. So we had at the time to scope what was going to be the forecast, and this was really informed by those sectors that were actually emerging as drivers at the time and also for the future of South Africa. So we all know the automotive sector, and this is pretty much also aligning to the leadership of the DTIC. On the automotive sector in general, where we have various initiatives, for example, such as the IDC and the Metals and Minerals Initiative. This is really how we could actually bring the aspect of technological manufacturing on our metals and minerals sectors, which are quite aligned with the endowment of minerals that this country has. The chemical sector, we had a vibrant chemical industry, and of course we know that the likes of Sasol were very much anchored on technology and actually a whole lot of intellectual property. The clothing and the textiles industry, the crafts, the aerospace, and the capital goods. And the various technology focus area was really about advanced materials, product technology, production technologies, logistics, innovation in logistics, cleaner production, just making sure that as we go about producing, that we begin to also bring aspects of environmental content into the picture. ICT in manufacturing, that was really to make sure that when the previous revolution that was pretty much beginning to look at the role of ICT in various spaces of our economy, that we actually also are part of that. Support for medium and small, medium, and micro enterprises, but also most importantly, making sure that when we look at production, that we can also be able to ensure the quality of our products and their compliance to various standards. Next slide. So the milestone has really been that the AMTS was actually approved in 2006. And later on, we established the Titanium Center of Composites and Titanium Center of Competence. And there has been a lot of work that has gone on there. And I think there are some questions there. There have been some updates on what has been happening there. The establishment of the Advanced Manufacturing Initiative. And then when TIA was established in 2008, this program, together with the technology innovation programs, were actually under the Technology Innovation Agency. Next slide. So what we also had to do at the time was that we needed to also have a program to support manufacturing by having what we call the technology localization program. Now, technology localization helps us in instances where we are procuring technology products abroad and we don't have capacity. Locally. So we start to then say, how do we make sure that with time we can begin to have those mentioned, and then we are also able to then look at not only the localization, but also in the qualification of the products that are coming up there, so that the original equipment manufacturer can be satisfied that whatever parts we are manufacturing locally have actually been satisfied to be good enough. So we then at some point did an audit of the ATMS. The activities were then moved outside of the Technology Innovation Agency, and they were part after that managed under the some of them under the CSIR. So there has been a number of progress that has been made, and really highlight some of them. And in terms of the actual movement leading up to commercialization, the CSR presentation that comes in here after this will highlight the progress that has been made. Next slide. So in terms of the current structure and instruments that are supporting us in manufacturing, we've got what we call collaborative program in additive manufacturing. We've got technology stations programs, and members have seen some of these, but they are quite really broad depending on the competencies, for example, that fit with the entities where they are localized. We saw in Limpopo the tech station responsible for processing. And then, you know, we also have the program on advanced materials initiative. And here, this is where we're looking at work such as the titanium work, the ferrous material development network, nuclear material development network, precious metals development network. And I think other work that is looking more at the beneficiation of minerals, the batteries material development initiative, where in terms of the modern batteries, when we talk, for example, about lithium ion batteries, we find that minerals such as manganese, which we have quite in high quantities in South Africa and also high quality, are quite crucial. And the question really is, are we then just going to be mining these and exporting them? And we realize that by beneficiating, you actually are able to move them from one level to the other, also improving the price that you can take for that product. So this is why honorable members would recall the visit to Mpumalanga, where you visited the battery precursor material program that we run through the University of Limpopo. And ultimately, the goal is if we have fully organized, for example, as a static region, you find that all the minerals that go into the modern batteries are found. Whether you talk about manganese here, you talk about cobalt in the DRC, you talk about lithium in both DRC, in Zimbabwe, and so forth. So we could actually be the hub for the manufacturing of, or at least the beneficiation of battery material. I've spoken about the technology localization implementation unit, and then the fluorochemical expansion initiative, which is near completion. These had a number of benefits areas. You know, there was a possibility of moving into from this into again the batteries program, but also into the manufacturing of pharmaceutical ingredients for drugs. Next slide. So in terms of the CPAP, which is a collaborative program in additive manufacturing, I would like to highlight the following. So what we have seen since we started with this program, we are starting to see an explosion of additive manufacturing. This is otherwise also called 3D printing, where you actually manufacture by adding layers of the product. And this is quite different from your, in some instances, what we are really seeing is that indeed we are beginning to see a growth in this particular area. Next slide. So this is, so this is just to show where this work around additive manufacturing is happening. In the area of aviation, the next presentation will talk more about what the manufacturing of parts that goes into airplanes. The issue of programs that are running under CSIR, as they are going to be presenting, the Center for Hard Material Advance, you know, these materials that you use in additive manufacturing, device substance, plastic base, hard material, metals, and so on and so forth, depending on what product you want. For example, you may recall that during COVID, when the CSIR was you know, involved in the manufacturing of the ventilators, that those were also being done in part by one of our programs that are part of this. So there's metal casting, there's materials and process safety, like polymers, process metallurgy, and these are all distributed in various institutions depending on the strength academically in that particular area by a particular institution. So we continue to really support this work, and some of it really having made progress in terms of nearing commercialization. Next slide. So the highlights is that we have indeed, one of the critical things in technology development is that we must always make sure that we develop technology, but we also develop people who are going to be central in that process. So we are quite pleased that we've been able to create broad skill space and a very good advanced manufacturing ecosystem. Good aspects around design, the ability to modify existing additive manufacturing machines, because that's quite important. One of the important things is how do you even localize the manufacturing of those machines? And there's no better way than starting at modification. You know, you can do that reverse engineer and then be able to manufacture locally. And we've got a number of good programs that are beginning to do that. New advanced manufacturing materials, looking at sand-based platinum and polymers. I also need to mention the issue of the manufacturing of platinum-based jewelry, materials analysis, and so on. So this capacity is quite crucial, because when you spin out new industries, you therefore have the manpower to do that. We also please especially about the medical advanced manufacturing initiative. This is based at the Central University of Technology. We call it MedEd. And this is where we're able to manufacture dental implants, maxillofacial implants, spinal implants. And it is important to also know that in an effort to continue to build capacity, the one point that was made when we presented to the portfolio committee last time was the coordination between the work that we do and our entities. And we're pleased that the NRF has awarded Subject Research Chair in Medical Product for this particular initiative, MedEd, which means we are going to continue to develop capacity and technology to strengthen our position in this particular area. And then when the NRF is doing that in terms of the development of basic sciences and training of students, then the CSIR is probably taking this over towards the high level in terms of the actual commercialization, including the role that the Technology Innovation Agency plays to de-risk some of these technologies before they go into the market. So there is, in my view, starting to be that proper choreography between the work that each entity does to complement the other. Next slide. So in terms of AeroSwift, which is again one of the Shaky, big slide. So here the work is on the design and construction of large area powder based advanced manufacturing system for metallic components. And this will really have their own processing in terms of where you start and where you end. And also looking at what kind of volumes, you know, how do you then do the necessary manufacturing? And this is quite important because when you manufacture parts for the aviation sector, you always have to also make sure that they are pretty qualified and suitable, because when some object is flying up there, they don't want to have any problem. So you therefore have to make sure that all the products are properly qualified to do what they are supposed to do before they are actually ready to be used. Next slide. So this is just a team that has been originally working on the Aerosuit program, and they also include personnel from Aerosuit, which is one of the companies here. And I think the details in terms of some of the work that is done will come on in the next presentation. Next slide. Next slide. Yeah, this is really just, again, to refresh this slide of the technology stations. We got 16 of them, including 3 institutes of advanced tooling. And I think it's important to mention that the value of the tech station is such that if with more resources, one will probably want to really expand them, because they are the go-to facilities for entrepreneurs who might be wanting, for example, to have a prototype developed and so on and so on. So they are very critical in an instance where, for example, you are establishing various regional innovation centers or the industrial zone, that you would actually want them to be there supporting the entrepreneurs, but also not only the emerging ones, but even including some of the developed entities, because then you can have a charging system where you service them. They may not necessarily have the facility, but they come there and they get advice, technical advice, and they can also have all sorts of other services done there. We have had, for example, what the tech station at the University of Limpopo does in terms of just empowering those growers who are, you know, small holder farmers who they need their product qualified in terms of getting into some of the retailers. So this is really the importance of the tech station. They also serve beyond just being sector focused and geographically distributed and looking at various areas of our, they also serve as our hotbed for the hosting of intent. This is where, again, we continue to use them as platforms to get our graduates ready for employment. We have seen the young and women graduates who are employed in tech stations and some who are intent. The level of confidence in that we're engaging with the portfolio committee, that you can see that we got graduates who are now ready for the employment because of their exposure in these tech stations. I've mentioned the issue of the evaluations, where, for example, we assist in the testing and evaluations where your main players, such as the subs, may not be available or accessible. So these particular stations play a very crucial role. So the TFP are hosted, that we sort of have in our agency, and of course there's the committee that does the interview. We do have issues that we're still sorting out just to make sure that they are more effective, but they really are a very good to support the developmental state, and their distribution is quite important. Next slide. This just to show the distribution of this tech station. all in terms of what they do differently. The third is just going to be explained as well in the next slide, just to show, you know, which one does what. But I think basically, again, I think in one of the recent presentation we have done, the indication of which one does what. So this is what happens in the textation, technical consultation, testing, measurements, and evaluations. Some instances, some research is done, and solutions are developed. You know, whether some of the prototypes need to be improved and so on and so forth, rapid prototyping and small batch manufacturing. This is to make sure that sometimes before you go commercial, you also want to have some batches that can be tested for validity and efficacy and efficacy and so on and so forth. So this becomes very useful. Process of product improvement, engineering design services, and also technology development and training. So this is really what they do. And they also are some underlying capabilities that we expect to see in every one of the organizations. This includes the project and contract management, technology maturation development, IP management. This is quite important because in the process of doing whatever they're doing, some of the knowledge that comes out is actually proprietary and it needs to be protected. And these tech stations also assist in just identifying that aspect, and then work can be done with relevant entities to protect the IP. Also making sure that they are able to diffuse the technology and the knowledge to various nodal points. Next slide. So these are really the sectoral focus pair tech station, ranging from electronics, mechanical systems and automotive components, fiber reinforced and molded plastic, rapid prototyping and product development. At CUT, we mentioned about the health-based 3D printed material. And so this is really how it goes. And when we look at the agro-processing chemicals and other, in terms of food processing, petrochemicals, and some, and a whole lot of these were quite useful during COVID. You know, you got those that were even manufacturing sanitizer during COVID because they were using their own capabilities. And then you got panel beating and spray painting and various technologies, CPUT. And I think when people talk about things like panel beating, we think it's an area that doesn't need technology until perhaps you've got the situation where a simple thing such as welding, you realize that you actually don't just weld. There are certain qualities and level of welding that are required for specific products, as we have seen, for example, during the construction of various power stations, that when you need to have panel welders, you don't just get somebody who's just going to come with the normal machine and put things together, but they need to be some specialty. So that's really it about the technology station. Next slide. So we've got a number of performance indicators. You probably might have picked up the number of students or special capacity that we develop, and these are really making sure that all areas that we support, we do have the capacity to even run from sciences to actually manufacturing. The number of products that are coming out to do the industrial development, and also how many of these initiatives we fund, and the localization aspect as well as the competitiveness of the industry, so which measure ourselves again. Next slide. This is really just to indicate some of the performance that we have seen, how much we have done in terms of the support for clients. Looking mostly at the number of small enterprises that have been supported through the tech stations. And I think members have always called on us to really begin to work towards ensuring that the issue of inclusiveness is indeed inclusive. and one of the areas has been to begin to seriously look at the issue of people with disabilities. And I just want to say, in acknowledgement upfront, that even though the numbers are low, I think this really for us is the beginning of not only measuring, but also making sure that by reflecting on these numbers, we can actually work hard to make sure that the numbers can grow. So I want to really just say that up front, because it's one of those areas of reporting that the committee has been pushing us to look at, and correctly so, and we are going to now start to focus on it. Next slide. So some of the highlights, we have mentioned the technology stations like the Centers of Technology, where we do a rapid prototyping and printing of medical implants. The Cape Peninsula University, which is the hub of materials and personal protective testing and manufacturing. Next slide. So this is really just what has been happening at the MedEd Institute at the Central University of Technology. And also to really look at the kind of partners that we have, because we're not just doing this work alone. And when you start to have partners that are also putting their resources, it shows that they are seeing the value. And this is really where we want to be, where you start something as government, and then as things grow, start to have other partners coming on board, including those who are going to take things into commercialization. Next slide. So in conclusion, I think since its origins, the HMS has actually evolved into a number of initiatives. And we can see we've got Advanced Materials Initiative, we've got Additive Manufacturing, we've got Aerospace and Space, Chemicals. We have also seen investment in our work growing and bearing fruit. The role, for example, we played during COVID, as I've said before, in terms of the rapid scaling and readjustment of some of these things. Our tech stations, for example, were able to really help us respond to COVID in many ways. I mentioned manufacturing of sanitizer, manufacturing of ventilators, manufacturing in some instances even of masks. And what we have continued to do and we need to continue to do is we need to build and maintain the ecosystem that enables us to thrive. There are different approaches that we're looking at some of these programs, either whether we're talking about the technology development, diffusion and product development. The next slide. So this is really to thank you, and I will be guided by you, but my thoughts were that just to, without breaking, to ensure that you then move into appreciating some of the real implementation aspect of the strategy, that perhaps we go into the CSR presentation, but whichever way Chairperson want it, to do as you say. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mwafe. If I could kindly then go directly to Dr. Naidu, then we'll take we'll engage on both presentations afterwards. Dr. Naidu?
Good morning, Chair, and just confirm that that I'm audible to you and the audience.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm sure we're all familiar with you. If you kindly just open
your camera. Sure. I will do that. Confirm that it's visible. So that's me. So good morning, everyone. And thank you for hosting us, and I'd like to thank the DSI for providing the leadership in this very important sector. So as many of you know, the manufacturing is one of the three primary sectors in the country, and with the CSR, before I allow my colleague Dr. Gopal to take us through the presentation, I just want to give you an umbrella view or a bird's eye view of the CSR sort of expansive sort of response in terms of industry requirements. And so there are nine clusters in the CSR, and one of those clusters is the manufacturing cluster, and particularly responding to many of the initiatives that are driven by the Department of Science and Innovation. So the head of that manufacturing cluster is Dr. Ajit Gopal, and he is providing the strategic leadership in that cluster as a cluster executive manager. And you will be making this presentation following on the DSI's presentation. So Dr. Gopal, if I can hand over to you, I'd appreciate it if you could take us through the CSR presentation, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Abe. Good morning, Jay. Good morning, colleagues. So maybe in the same vein as Kaveh, hopefully you should pass this my camera on. I'm not sure if you can see me, but this is what this is me, Ajit Gopal. As Dr. Naidu mentioned, I'm responsible for the manufacturing cluster at the CSIR. And let me start the presentation. Switch that on. Okay, so you should be able to see the screen. If there's any issues with audio or visibility of the screen, please let me know. So good morning again, and thank you very much for allowing us to share some information that the CSIR is doing in support of the DSI Advanced Manufacturing Strategy and other related initiatives. Let's move forward. Here we go. So there's two mechanisms in which the CSIR is supporting the Advanced Manufacturing Technology Strategy. The one is through hosted programs, and here we've already heard discussions a little bit on the collaborative program in additive manufacturing, to the CPAP program. We also support through the technology localization and implementation initiative that we host on behalf of the DSI. And then there's three programs that we host on behalf of the DTIC, which is the National Clean Air Production Technologies, the National Foundry Technology Network, and the Aerospace Industry Support Initiative. So today I'm going to be sharing some work that we're doing on the CPAM program. And then the other area in which we support is the technology development aspect, which is work that we do on the Advanced Materials and Manufacturing Program and the Aerospace Metal Additive Manufacturing Platform. Then some of the associated initiatives that we are doing that contribute towards the DSI strategy in advanced manufacturing is the Learning Factory, which is the CSIR initiative, was initially financially supported by the MISIATA and aligned to the objectives, as I mentioned, of the AMTS, including that of the technology stations initiatives that were presented. I must say we are very, CSIR is very proud of. It's gaining a lot of momentum and uptake within industry because of the value add and relevance to what industry requires. So if you look at the hosted program, the CPAM hosted program, the strategic objectives is to manage implementation of this initiative on behalf of the DSI, and the main drivers for that is program is able to leverage DSIR expertise and to management of the KPIs, access to direct technical support to beneficiaries, as well as access to CSIR support structures that are aligned to the PSMA. To advance the knowledge base in South Africa in selected focus areas, increase technology readiness levels of additive manufacturing to ease adoption by development of human capital, and new industrially relevant knowledge generation aimed at increased AI industry in South Africa. The focus areas in this program is on the metal additive manufacturing value chain. I think the bulk of the effort, we've got a very niche capability and unique capability that's very competitive globally. Polymer additive manufacturing value chain, then design for additive manufacturing and development. So this is the value chain that the program supports, and it's quite broad. It supports initiatives and capability development across from materials through design, through the processes, post-processing, testing and certification, as well as supporting applications, market-specific applications. On the material side, there's work that's been done on new materials with the titanium alloys, nickel-based alloys, stainless steel, as well as aluminium on the metal side. On the plastic side, there was a slide later on that shows some of the work that we are actually doing on investigating feasibility of South African-produced polymers for additive manufacturing as well. On the design side, the design and the specific focus on design for additive manufacturing that we just now, but on the design side, we support design approaches, support structure strategies. So when you're printing, 3D printing a component, you need to, if the component doesn't stand in 3A, you need to sort of support it through some scaffolding structures. And the design of those scaffolding structures are also very critical, or play a critical role in the additive manufacturing process. Then on the process itself, the process monitoring, direct energy deposition optimization, as well as some of the materials that I mentioned, process development for these new alloys that are being developed. There's also work in post-processing and testing and certification. We're not going to go through maybe too much of the technical details on the slide, but I think just to reiterate some of the market applications that we also looking at from an additive manufacturing process and supporting technologies to, for these application of the process towards these technologies such as the nickel implants that was mentioned, wind turbines, railway components, automotive components, etc. So this is the design for additive manufacturing support that we do, design and engineering analysis capabilities using finite element analysis, reverse engineering. I think the DSI presentation also alluded to some of the reverse engineering capabilities on the additive manufacturing machine. So evaluation of design software systems and development of design for AM courses and workshops that we actively drive. Novel design approaches, this is topology optimization. I think a big, we must keep in mind that additive manufacturing is not a silver bullet. It is a very useful advanced manufacturing technique for very specific applications to reduce complexity and to reduce highly complex parts of it. Topology optimization is very critical towards enabling that. And then I mentioned already on the scaffolding structures, etc., that's required for an optimal build. The design rules for additive manufacturing and down the application side, there's some of the examples of tooling and casting applications, medical implants, also do and support aerospace, transport, renewable energy applications as well. Then in terms of industrial development, there's pre-industrial AM platforms. This is some of the framework for implementing additive manufacturing in the aerospace industry. We've got a structured methodology that is applied to take a component, a required component from design all the way through to qualification, material and AM safety, industrialization of additive manufacturing, and here there's a program for a development program for low-cost autonomous aerial vehicles, as well as industrialization work to enable the technology to be industrialized and increase maturity toward application and adoption by industry. The program also, the CPM program also supports the RAPDASA annual conference, which has been growing quite rapidly. RAPDASA is the Rapid Product Development Association. And we also recently integrated with other conferences in the 4IR and advanced technology space as well. So that local conference is actually gaining a lot of support from not only the academic side, but also from industry. Then in terms of the KPIs, so this is specifically for phase three of the CPM program, which is the current contract that we in. And unfortunately, the contract is not aligned to the financial year. The intention of this slide is to show the categories of KPIs that we are measured against. As well as papers published, conference papers, technology demonstrators, process documents, and noise generation of data. And it shows that in general, most of the KPIs, or all of the KPIs, are quite significantly exceeded. So the program is actually performing very well. Some highlights, I think we've already spoken, GFI has shown some of the highlights as well. By CUT on evaluating suitability for high-density polyethylene for non-load-bearing maxillofacial reconstruction implants. That's the pictures on the right-hand side there. And the picture at the bottom shows the work that we're doing in terms of feasibility, or that we're supporting in terms of the feasibility of processing African-produced polymers so that it's suitable for 3D printing as well. In terms of the future of the program, we signed the present contract in November last year, and it's rounded up to the end of December 2024. The intention is to keep the focus on the opportunities identified in the additive manufacturing roadmap that was approved in 2016. However, as part of continuous improvement, we are looking at strengthening the following aspects of the program in terms of accessibility, industry participation, industry support, and postgraduate support. So we're going to be looking at moving CPAM to a more open, independent review process. On the industry participation, we are looking at having a program focused on industry lead projects. Due to budget constraints, we couldn't implement that, and we're looking at how we can formally launch this in the next phase. And then from the industry support side, strengthening the SMME support program further with learning from the industry connect. So one of the hosted programs that we do on behalf of the EIC that I indicated in the previous slide is the Aerospace Industry Support Initiative. That has proven to be a very value-adding successful program. And we want to apply some of the learnings there to increase that direct industrial impact of the CPAM program as well. In terms of postgraduate support, the program is constructed around postgraduate research projects, as we have mentioned earlier, the full value chain of metal and polymer AM. Going forward, we'll be looking at developing a mechanism of to keep on supporting postgraduate students involved as they transition into out of the university or the academic environment, industry, etc., and continue building that pipeline. And then if you look at AeroSwift, large bulk volume metal 3D printing platform technology. The development of the aerosol technology for metal additive manufacturing started with the intention to expand the local capability in the emerging field of advanced manufacturing. The initial intention was to apply the technology within the aerospace sector, but we've seen rapid maturity of the technology and the adoption rate in the industry has created opportunities in multiple sectors. So currently we see a very high demand for this technology within the mining equipment, as well as the chemical plant, processing equipment space. So the key focus for this financial year is to move to industrialization of this technology by putting the product into the market, focusing on the following three objectives: the system maturity management, product development, and pre-production machine design and validation. And then finalizing the business model and preparations for the pre-product machine manufacturing and qualification. Over and above the commercialization agenda, the additional KPIs that we support through the program, through this initiative, including undergraduate and postgraduate students, maturing and applying intellectual property in the pre-production version. So the focus is on the application of the IP for production, disseminating knowledge through publications and conferences, and then establishing a network of key stakeholders, specifically industry uptake stakeholders. So in terms of the implementation, so it's making the aerosol technology more reliable and robust, find the maintenance process, developing a modular pre-production machine. Lead users for aerosol technology is being finalized with quite a number of letters of intent for uptake of the technology that's being final progressed and matured. The AM on demand or AM as a service business model requires larger consistent market demand, and we're also looking at how we can facilitate that. And then niche customer demands will be met through optimized custom machines for the required application. So this is the route to industrialization that we are following, and there's two tracks that you will see. The top one is the development or industrialization of the machine itself, with the user requirement statement ending up to an industrial machine development, and the pathway to that, including the industrialization plan, the ecosystem support development, publications, information sessions, and commercial partnerships. And then equally important is the bottom track on demand creation and market growth, and that's related to building up sufficient volume and mix of parts to be financially viable for SMEs or other companies to apply the additive manufacturing technology using the state locally available commercial system that we targeting multiple industries. I mentioned the mining and chemicals as examples, but there's also interest in the automotive sector, as well as continued interest in the aerospace, on the aerospace side. So these are some of the sectors that express interest in uptaking the metal AM technology. In terms of KPIs, so the support of undergraduate students, you can see how the program has performed against what was planned. And I think, again, in general, most of the KPIs, all of the KPIs have been met and exceeded. So in terms of the future of AeroSwift, the technical specifications, so the AeroSwift is a large bulk volume platform. I think a slide on the DSI presentation indicated the maximum bulk volume of about 2 meters by 600 millimeters. The product that we are building, or the variant that we are building industrializing at the moment based on the requirements of the mining and chemical processing sector, is a build volume of 600 by 600 by 600 high, great up to 700 high, very high build rate of more than 350 cubic centimeters per hour. It can accommodate multiple materials, including stainless steels, aluminium, titanium, carbon-based steel, etc. As well as provide low access to machine parameters. So the value add that the technology can provide is the locally developed technology as local support and continued RPI investment into maintaining that technology at a lower total cost of ownership. The machine, so the technology lends itself to a very affordable machine and a lower total cost of ownership compared to other products in the market, short lead time for procurement, and there's also various business models that's been looked at as well, including buying, rental, leasing, and so forth. I mentioned the expressions of commercial intent. These are some of the companies that have expressed commercial intent in acquiring and using this technology for their business. Mental Heart is in the mining space, so Anglo-American Gender Mark is actually in the automotive space, and Sasol on the petrochemical side. Then in terms of advanced materials and manufacturing program, the intent is to design, develop, manufacture, test components and manufacturing systems through powder, metallurgy, casting, and fabrication processes. So here we provide tailor-made innovative solutions for government and industry, again, across the whole value chain of metal extraction to final manufactured product. So this is just an indication of the work that gets done across this value chain. And we, from the design, simulation, and modeling using engineering tools, advanced engineering tools, to the material side, which is an important element, powder production, alloy development, materials processing, with a focus on light metals, the titanium, aluminium, etc. But we also do work on steels, GDM, and other alloys. The manufacturing processes, metal injection molding, additive manufacturing, ancient systems, and investment plastics. There's a lot of work being done in supporting local industry and uptake of the technology in local industry around the metal injection building, the business and investment casting. Then there's on the post-processing side, the hot acid static press is a key piece of the key post-processing technology that's not readily available or accessible locally, and there's significant effort going into making the technology more accessible to the local industry. And then on the testing, qualification, and services side, the mechanical testing, powder testing as feedstock powder to the powder metallurgy, these various powder metallurgy processes, non-destructive testing, etc. The human capital development, techno-economic partnerships are key activities that we also pursue. And recently, through our continuous improvement efforts, we've adopted the lead user approach so that the solutions that we deliver are much more closely aligned to the needs and requirements of industry. The objectives of the Advanced Materials and Manufacturing Program is downstream beneficiation of strategic materials through product development, localization and competitiveness improvement, establishing high-end smart infrastructure and facilities for skills development, but also making it accessible to industry, assisting SMEs by launching industry transportation platforms, that produce feedstock, material feedstocks, components and systems for various sectors, material development, design testing, qualification, expertise being available and accessible to industry, and then human capital development. So under this program, this is an indication of the KPIs that we are measured against, that the program is measured against. And I think there's a next slide. So it's number of companies, SMME supported, number of technologies commercialized, industry people trained, special purpose vehicles formed, or incubated, or companies incubated or spun out. So it's very industry oriented, or very oriented to supporting industry, but not forgetting the capability, maintaining and enhancing the capability.